Gustave Courbet was the first real realist. We know this because he's the one who literally wrote the Manifesto of Realism and created the guidelines for the movement. His story follows an unusual arc in that he started out wealthy, handsome, and well-liked, but died poor and notorious. He was egotistical and cantankerous, but he had a vision for art. Not that you would have known that he was going to be the artist to set the art world on its ear. His early paintings sort of wander around in regards to subject matter, wandering through ideas that are landscape-based, then beauty-based, then genre-based. But nothing distinct seems to develop at first, and then, alongside all the scandalously raunchy nudes and suffering self-portraits he was painting, he began to paint things like this, the Stonebreakers. And eventually, he began saying things like this. I am 50 years old and have always lived in freedom. Let me end my life as a free man. When I am dead, they must be able to say of me, that one never belonged to any church, to any institution, to any academy, and above all, to any regime except the regime of liberty. Which means we need to talk about socialism, because he is tied to that political position, not movement. During Courbet's time, socialism was a social consciousness regarding the poor, the realization that those in the lower classes lived a different experience than those in the higher classes. The idea that those who were in the lower classes didn't have access to as much opportunity as others might have. At this point, it was a realization of difference, but eventually it would grow to an understanding that something could be done by the better off to change the situation of others, and eventually it became a movement that suggested that the better off should do things for the less fortunate. However, even then, socialism, as it was understood then, was not as it is understood now. Socialism as a movement, more along the lines of how it might be framed today, wasn't formally invented until the 1860s, and didn't become a real political force until after World War I. In Courbet's The Stonebreakers, he's making a real commentary on the lives of the unfortunate, the crushing existence of the lowest classes of French society. As one begins in this class, so one ends, is his statement. If we look closely at Courbet's painting The Stonebreakers of 1849, painted only 1 year after Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels wrote their influential pamphlet, The Communist Manifesto, the artist's concern for the plight of the poor is evident. Here, two figures labor to break and remove stones from a road that is being built. In our age of powerful jackhammers and bulldozers, such work is reserved for punishment for chain gangs. Unlike Millais, who in paintings like The Gleaners was known for depicting hard-working but somewhat idealized peasants, Courbet depicts figures who wear ripped and tattered clothing. And unlike the aerial perspective Millais used in The Gleaners to bring her eye deep into the French countryside during the harvest, the Stonebreakers in Courbet's painting are set against a low hill of the sort common in the rural French town of Ornans, where the artist had been raised and continued to spend much of his life. The hill reaches to the top of the canvas everywhere but in the upper right-hand corner, where a tiny patch of bright blue sky appears. The effect is to isolate these laborers and to suggest that they are physically and economically trapped. In Millais' painting, the gleaners' rounded backs echo each other, creating a composition that feels unified, whereas Courbet's figures seem disjointed. Millais' painting, for all its sympathy for these poor figures, can still be read as art by viewers at the exhibition in Paris. Courbet wanted to show what was real, and so he was depicting a man that seemed too old and a boy that seemed still too young for such backbreaking labor. This is not meant to be heroic. It is meant to be an accurate account of the abuse and deprivation that was common in the mid-century of French rural life. And with so many great works of art, there is a close affiliation between the narrative and the formal choices made by the painter, meaning elements such as brushwork, composition, line, and color. Like the stones themselves, Courbet's brushwork is rough, much more so than might be expected during the mid-19th century. This suggests that the way the artist painted this canvas was in part a conscious rejection of the highly polished, refined, neoclassicist style that still dominated French art in 1848. Perhaps most characteristic of Courbet's style is his refusal to focus on parts of the image that would have usually received the most attention. Traditionally, an artist would spend the most time on the hands, faces, and foregrounds, but not Courbet. If you look carefully, you will notice that he attempts to be even-handed, attending to faces and rocks equally. In these ways, the Stonebreakers seem to lack the basics of art, things like the composition that selects and organizes aerial perspectives and finish, and as a result, it feels more, well, real. Which isn't to say, with all of his goodwill towards the poor, that he stopped painting absolutely scandalous nudes and completely devoting himself to social change. On more than one occasion, he created stirs with his nude paintings, one of which used the girlfriend of fellow artist and friend James Abbott McNeil Whistler as a model. Whistler's girlfriend Jo, depicted in Courbet's Portrait of Jo, was Courbet's model for a while, and Whistler was Courbet's close friend until a particularly pornographic painting One that was scandalous enough to cause people to file police reports once it was exhibited was painted by Courbet while Whistler's girlfriend was his main model. That was when Whistler, who had been very close with Courbet, suddenly went back to London and never spoke to Courbet again. Awkward. But that wasn't even the most scandalous piece ever. His most scandalous nude was one the public never even knew about. It was a private commission for the same man that had commissioned Ong's Turkish Bath from Chapter 3 that didn't see public exhibition until the 1980s, over 100 years after its completion. For reasons that may never be fully explained, Courbet managed to have some influential and controversial paintings included in the Academy's Salon of 1850 and 51. His Stonebreakers and the Burial at Onnans were both included.